The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Thursday Night Football was a very odd game, at least to me it was. I mean, it kind of felt like for a while there, nobody really wanted to win this game. I mean, neither offense could really get going. And even though the final score ended up being a pretty decent total, it was 26-18 Philadelphia Eagles, it really wasn't that good of a game. I mean, it was very, very stale. It was really just a couple of big breakthroughs for Saquon Barkley, who ended up with the 2 touchdowns and 146 yards as well. But other than the couple times he broke through, this was a very, very mediocre game from both offenses. And it was pretty much just dominated by defense. It kind of felt like for a while, who the hell was going to win this game? Who wanted to win this game? Like I said, the Eagles ended up winning the game in the end. But I mean, I keep saying it. Jalen Hurts looks very not comfortable in this offense. He got thrown around a couple of times last night. He even had to get checked for a concussion. Then you look at him on the sideline, and it just looks like he is not into it at all. He just seems very pissed off, if you will. I don't know what the deal is, but he just does not look like he gives a shit. I don't want to say like he doesn't give a shit, but it just like seems like he's very frustrated with the offense at times, and it just seems weird for a team that's winning so much lately. I don't see what the problem is, but it definitely seems like there's some type of issues there. But they still got the win regardless, and Washington suffers their second loss in a row. So let's move on to Week 11 and the rest of the weekend of football, and also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 7-7, which brought my season total up to 95-57. And he went 10-4, which brought him up to 85-67. So chipping away at my big lead. It's still a big lead. I still have a 10-game lead, but he chipped away at it. And we do have a few disagreements this week, so we'll see how that goes. We both picked Philadelphia last night, so we're both 1-0 on the weekend. I had Philadelphia winning 24-21. He had Philadelphia winning 23-20. So we're both 1-0 to start. So let's get started with the rest of Week 11. We have the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite. The Bears, they just look terrible offensively. They just fired their offensive coordinator this week. There's a lot of talk about do the veterans really respect Caleb Williams right now? Do they want to bench Caleb Williams? Doesn't look like that's going to happen. I don't really think it should. I mean, if this is your future, you might as well just keep rolling with them and see what happens there and just ride with the lows and ride with the highs as best as you can. I mean, that was kind of going to happen. I mean, a lot of people are looking at the success that Jaden Daniels has had this year and the success that CJ Stroud had last year. And it's like, I'm sorry, rookies are always going to have growing pains. Even those two are going to have growing pains at times. And you just got to kind of roll with it. Green Bay, though, on the other hand, really their only issues, I feel like, are just Jordan Love and his injuries. But other than that, I mean, defensively, they're really solid. They've got Josh Jacobs in the backfield, who's really starting to get going as well. And I just look at the Green Bay Packers as being a really good team, a championship-level team that's definitely going to be competitive throughout the season. And they also own the Chicago Bears. So I think the Packers are going to win this one 27-17. And Simon also has the Packers winning this one 24-16. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Detroit Lions. Right now the Lions are a 12.5-point favorite. And that's pretty much what I expect from this game. I mean, it looks like Trevor Lawrence, he is not going to play in this game. He's got a shoulder injury, but even with Trevor Lawrence, I felt like this was going to not be a good game for the Jaguars at all. As I continue to reiterate, the Detroit Lions are head and shoulders above better than everybody else in the league right now, especially the Jaguars. So this should actually be a fairly easy game for the Lions. I think the Lions are going to roll in this one 40-13. Simon also has the Lions rolling in this one 41-14. Then we have the Minnesota Vikings at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Vikings are a 6.5-point favorite, and I kind of feel like this is going to be the same as the previous game we were just talking about. The Vikings are a much better team than the Titans. The Titans are an absolutely atrocious team. And while the Vikings have kind of had their struggles over the past few weeks, I think this is a good get-right game for them, and I feel like the Vikings are going to absolutely annihilate the Titans, 37-14. Simon also has the Vikings rolling in this one, 30-21. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 6.5-point favorite. The Dolphins are slowly starting to get going offensively now that they've got Tua back. They finally look pretty decent on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas the Raiders, they just look like they're just trying to get through this season as best they can. And hopefully going to end up with a high draft pick and hopefully going to end up drafting Shedeur Sanders next year at quarterback, because that seems to be all they have going on with this team. I've got the Dolphins winning just because I feel like they're slightly better. They have a little bit more of an identity, and it kind of feels like they're going to get a win at least at some point here, and I feel like this is it. I've got them winning 21-16. Simon also has the Dolphins winning 27-17. Then we have the Los Angeles Rams at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. The Rams, the last game was pretty terrible for them, so I feel like this is going to be a good team for them to get right against. Patriots they are coming off of a win, but it's not really just because they were a good team. It's really because they were playing a terrible team. I feel like the Rams have a much better offense than the Patriots do, and I feel like the Rams are just going to get it going offensively in this one, and I feel like the Rams are going to win 27-10, and Simon also has the Rams winning this one 20-16. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. Browns, one of the worst teams in the league. Saints, not much better, but I do think they are the better team. They're at home. They've played a couple of decent games here over the past couple of weeks, and this is kind of just a coin toss type of game, so I'm just going with New Orleans simply because they're at home, 20-19. Simon is also going with New Orleans in this one, 23-20. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, this matchup is usually always a good matchup, no matter where the teams are at. But right now, both of these teams are playing great football. Defensively is where it's at for the Steelers, and offensively is where it's at for the Ravens. I expect this to be a good battle all the way till the end. I would not be shocked if it comes down to a last-minute game-winning drive where either the Ravens end up getting into a position where Justin Tucker is able to get them the game-winning field goal, or the defense happens to step it up, or just something happens on the last drive where I feel like that's going to be the defining factor in this one. Like I said, it's always a crazy game between the two of them. I think the Ravens are actually the better team between the two teams. I feel like the Steelers are kind of fugazi, whereas the Ravens are more of a championship-level team. I have the Ravens winning this one 20-17. Simon also has the Ravens winning this one 23-13. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. Right now, the Jets are a 3.5-point favorite. This game, to me, was a coin toss game. For one, I've already mentioned a couple of times, I'm just sick of taking the Jets. Every time I take the Jets, they let me down. But then every time I haven't taken the Jets, then that's when they win. So I really had no idea what to do in this one. I'm really just leaning towards Indianapolis simply because they are putting Richardson back in at quarterback. So that might provide them a little bit of a spark. Both teams are pretty much on equal playing field to me. I'm not convinced either one is going to win this one. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if it ended in like a tie, because that's how much I believe in either one of these teams, but they're both meh. So I'm going with Indianapolis in this one simply because I'm sick to death of taking the Jets and them screwing me over. So I'm going with Indianapolis 21-20. This is one of the disagreements that Simon and I have. He is taking the Jets in this one 27-24. Then the afternoon games, we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 1.5-point favorite. This is another coin toss game to me where I look at both teams. They're pretty similar. They've lost stupid games. They've won stupid games. Denver, I'm really just leaning towards them because they barely lost last week. They seem to have more of an identity than the Falcons. The Falcons seem very disjointed, in disarray, and you just never know what you're going to get from them. So I'm leaning towards Denver in this one simply because they're at home and simply because they feel like the better team of the two. So I've got Denver winning 24-21. This is another disagreement between Simon and I. He's got the Falcons winning this one 27-17. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now the Niners are a 6.5-point favorite. Seattle, they've started to show that they really just aren't that good of a team. They're very up and down. They're very shaky, and they just really don't have an identity. The Niners are not a good team either. Even though they got Christian McCaffrey back, he had a good game last week, but he really wasn't a factor. To me, last week was really more the Buccaneers losing than the Niners winning. They really haven't had the typical Niners game where they just dominate offensively, where they dominate defensively. But I do think they're the better team than Seattle. But I really wouldn't be shocked if Seattle won this one. But I'm going with the Niners just because I think they're slightly the better team. I've got the Niners winning this one 28-20. And Simon also has the Niners winning this one 23-17. Then we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills. Right now the Bills are a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like it's finally time that the Chiefs lose. It felt like they could have lost in every game they've played this season, but so far every team they've played has beat themselves in the end. Buffalo hasn't really had that game this season. They actually look like a pretty well put together team so far. Josh Allen has not really been having his Josh Allen games where he just throws a bunch of stupid interceptions or stupid passes. Overall, he's actually been buttoned up and put together throughout the season, and they also have a ground attack this year. Defensively, they look really, really put together. So I just kind of feel like this is finally the game where Kansas City meets their match. I feel like Buffalo is going to get out ahead of them and really just never look back. And I've got Buffalo winning this one 31-20. Simon also has Buffalo winning this one 30-22. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the Cincinnati Bengals at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. I think these are both two similar teams, even though Cincinnati is on the losing end of things and the Chargers are on the winning end of things. I feel like both of these teams are able, they're very capable of making a run. But since Cincinnati really hasn't put together much this season, and the Chargers actually have, they actually seem to be getting better as the season wears on. Justin Herbert seems to be getting going more and fitting better in this offense. And defensively, they are really good. So I kind of feel like the defense is going to be what holds it down for the Chargers and makes the big plays. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if the defense causes, you know, like a last ditch type of, you know, let's say the Bengals are rolling on a drive to either tie it up or take the win. And I feel like the Chargers defense is going to step it up and either have some big sacks, a big turnover to basically be the reason why the Chargers win this one. I do think it's going to be a close one, but I've got the Chargers winning 24-21. And this is another disagreement between Simon and I. He has the Bengals winning a close one 23-20. Moving on to the NBA, we had some pretty crazy games this week. Beginning on Monday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers kept their winning streak going. They moved it to 12-0 on the season. They got a win over the Chicago Bulls 119-113. Donovan Mitchell dropped 36 points and 8 rebounds. So Cleveland remaining undefeated on Monday night. Then also Oklahoma City Thunder had a big game against the Los Angeles Clippers, got the win 134-128. SGA had a career high 45 points and 9 assists, and this just came right after the news about Chet Holmgren. So big win for Oklahoma City to show that, hey, while we lost our big guy, it's not going to hinder us, and we're just going to keep getting better while he heals up. Then on Tuesday, we had Klay Thompson coming back to Golden State. If you don't know, Klay Thompson used to play for the Golden State Warriors. He signed in the offseason with the Dallas Mavericks. So Dallas came to town, and it was a crazy game, but Steph Curry showed why he is still one of the top players in the league. Golden State got the win 120 to 117, and Steph scored the final 12 points for the Golden State Warriors in the fourth quarter to seal the deal. He dropped 37 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds on the night, and had the game-sealing field goal to end the game and just send Clay off into the sunset. But it was definitely a good game between the two. And Thompson, he was in the mix as well there. It wasn't just Steph Curry throwing up, knocking down the threes. Clay was making some of the big clutch shots in the fourth quarter for Dallas as well. It really was a back-and-forth affair. But Steph just got the better of Clay in this first matchup of Clay coming back home. And then Wednesday, we actually had some career games from a couple of dudes. So let's begin with Cleveland. Moving on to 13-0 on the season, they beat the 76ers 114-106. Donovan Mitchell dropped 23 points, and Darius Garland also dropped 25 points as well. So it was a well-rounded game from the Cleveland Cavaliers, who remain undefeated so far on the season. Then in the San Antonio Spurs matchup versus the Washington Wizards, the Spurs got the win 139-130, but the big story was actually Victor Wembanyama dropped 50 points on the night. As a matter of fact, you know, he just went off. He had something like, I think, like 29 points in the first quarter. It looked like, you know, it just started where it was like, damn. And he actually ended up sitting down because the Spurs had such a huge lead. But then their lead started to dwindle, and Wemby had to come back in, so he just ended up with the 50 points overall on the night. Then the Los Angeles Lakers had a nice night against the Memphis Grizzlies. They won 128-123. The big news, though, was LeBron had his third triple-double in a row this week. Third in a row from a fucking 40-year-old, man. He dropped 35 points, 14 assists, and 12 rebounds against the Grizzlies. And then Anthony Davis also dropped. He had a double-double as well, dropped 21 points and 14 rebounds on the night. So it was a huge game for the Lakers, but LeBron, third triple-double in a row. He's like, I know Jokic is the triple-double king, but I'm still here, so bow down, bitches. And then also on Wednesday night, we haven't been talking about the Milwaukee Bucks much because the Milwaukee Bucks are having a terrible season, but Giannis Antetokounmpo had a good night. In a win that they definitely needed over the Detroit Pistons, 127-120. The Pistons actually are not as terrible as they usually are. The Pistons are actually playing some pretty decent basketball this year. I'm not saying they're a playoff-bound team, but they're not as bad as they were last year. So, and not that, I mean, really, if they got worse than last year, that would have been really, really, really bad. But, I mean, the Bucks barely got by them, and they needed Giannis to drop 59 to get by them. So Giannis, he had 59 points and 14 rebounds on the night. It was a huge night for Giannis. He had to shoulder the load, and he did, and in a big win for the Milwaukee Bucks, who have been so bad this season that there's already talk that Doc Rivers might lose his job. So we'll see what happens with the Bucks this season. They're even talking about potentially trading Giannis, which says that shows how bad they are doing this season. All right, we actually have a couple of big fights this weekend, beginning with the real fight, UFC 309 on Saturday night in New York City. It's going to be the return of John Bones Jones and his 27-1 record against Stipe Miocic. In his 20-4 record. You know, this actually was supposed to be held earlier this year, but John Jones suffered an injury, which set things back. But here we are. And, you know, this could potentially be John Jones' last fight. I mean, when it comes to him, you really don't know when the next fight is going to be because, A, he is up there in age. So he's kind of at the point where he could retire. He doesn't really have anything to prove. He's one of the greatest fighters, if not the greatest UFC fighter of all time. So it's not like he has to prove anything to anybody. He already has proven it. Even if he were to lose this match this weekend, which I don't believe he's going to, But even if he does, his legacy is set. So you never know. This could potentially be his last fight, especially with what, you know, he suffered an injury before the fight. So it's kind of like, is it worth it? But we'll see what happens. He has been talking about potentially fighting a couple of other dudes after this one. But like I said, each and every John Jones fight, you just got to kind of look at it as this could potentially be it. Miocic, on the other hand, this guy is a beast. He is one of the top fighters in UFC right now, and this would be a huge win for him. I mean, like I said, he's already one of the top guys. He gets this one, it puts him in another class. But to me, John Bones Jones is the best UFC fighter of all time. He always brings it each and every time, and he's going to bring it in this one. I've got John Jones winning this one, and, you know, he's... I didn't think he could do it in his last one, so I'm going to go with... he's going to go with a knockout in this one, just like he did in his last one. I'm going to go John Jones knockout in round two over Miocic in this one. Moving on to the other fight, if you could call it a fight. I mean, I want to call it a fight, but it's like there's one half of it that's legit, and then there's one half of it that's douchebag, I guess we'll say. So it's going to be Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul this weekend in boxing. You know, let me just say the positive about Jake Paul and what he's done for boxing. Because, you know, boxing has been extremely corrupt and really has taken a backseat to UFC over the years just because UFC has a much better business model than boxing. Boxing is, it's been rigged in many ways. You know, the promoters are shady. The judges are shady. There's just so much shadiness to boxing, and it's just really taken a backseat, even though there's lots of great fighters still to this day in boxing, but it just doesn't have the same oomph that it used to have. And Mike Tyson, to me, is one of the greatest to ever be in boxing, and he was one of the most exciting, at least in my opinion, to watch. So it is nice to see Mike Tyson back in the ring, and it looks like he's, you know, really been taking this seriously. But, I mean, as far as Jake Paul goes and his contribution to boxing, I will say I like that he's, you know, he's making a spectacle out of all of these events that he's been holding. But, I mean, as a real boxing fan, if you watch his technique, he has terrible technique. He is not a fun boxer to watch. He's a very sloppy boxer. And there's no proof in this, but it just seems like most of his matches have been rigged towards him. And so it's really actually difficult for me to even get excited about this boxing match. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. You know, it is tonight. It is going to be on Netflix, and I have Netflix, so I can watch it if I want to. There's no extra pay-per-view that we have to pay for. It really is, if you got Netflix, you can watch it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I mean, I want to watch Mike Tyson knock Jake Paul the fuck out. I think that's what all of us want to see, because Jake Paul is just a douchebag extraordinaire. That's all he is. He is a stupid fucking moron. Outside, like I said, I respect their business model. I respect all the money they have earned from all these boxing events that they put on, but this is not legit boxing. I don't respect it. And honestly, the fact that this idiot thinks he can actually step into the ring with Mike Tyson, even though Mike Tyson's in his 50s, Mike Tyson should knock this motherfucker out, like, immediately. Simply just based off of boxing skills. But I also wouldn't be shocked if it goes a while, because it's fake. It just all seems fake. So it would be nice to think that Mike Tyson's going to give it his all and actually give us what we all want and knock this idiot the fuck out. But I would not be surprised if it goes a few rounds, or hell, if nobody gets knocked out and it goes the distance. And then they just let this stupid idiot Jake Paul win because it's his event that they're putting on. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I'm still on the fence. I may start watching it, and who knows, I might stick around. simply because I really, really would like to see Mike Tyson knock this stupid idiot out. But at the same time, it's such a gimmick, and I hate gimmicks. And I especially hate gimmicks against, like, you know, there's a lot of people who put their bodies on the line and their lives on the line for sports, especially boxing. And I just don't like seeing it made into a joke. And like I said, like, Jake Paul is not even anywhere near Mike Tyson's skill level, even at 955. I will take Mike Tyson 10 out of 10 times over Jake Paul any day of the fucking week. So it shouldn't be close. It should be an annihilation. It should be Mike Tyson walks right up to Jake Paul and just obliterates his ass. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get from this. I'm only even discussing this because I don't ever talk about these stupid Jake Paul fights simply because they're a gimmick to me. They're not a legitimate boxing match. But I love Mike Tyson, and he's one of the greatest boxers of all time, and he's one of my favorites of all time. So I'd love to see him just knock a motherfucker out, but like I said, I would not be shocked if the gimmick factor comes in and it just doesn't go our way. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if I wake up in the morning and I find out that Jake Paul won this one because the judges gave it to him. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll get a legit fight, but I'm not expecting a legit fight. All right, so let's move on to the top five list this week. It's just actually going to revolve around baseball and MLB free agency because that's what we have coming up now. So I'm going to do the top five MLB free agents. We actually have quite a few great free agents available in baseball. This should actually be quite the free agency frenzy. But there are these five, I believe, stand out above the rest. And I feel like they're definitely going to have a lot of teams coming after them, especially number one. But I feel like not only are they going to have a lot of teams coming after them, but whoever signs them, they're going to actually become, they're going to be a factor for each and every team that signs them. So let's begin with number five on my top five MLB free agents. I have starting pitcher Blake Snell. He just spent his last season with the Giants. He actually was injured to start the season. But as the season wore on, he actually got better. He actually threw a no-hitter this year. He is an ex-Cy Young winner, award winner. He did win the Cy Young back when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. He had a great time with the Rays. Then he went to the Padres, and he suffered injuries there as well. I mean, Snell's issue has been injuries. It's never been, is he a good pitcher? Obviously, he's a damn good pitcher. Winning the Cy Young Award, it's not a fluke. It's not fake. I mean, honestly, he's been a very, very, very good pitcher his entire career. It's just his durability, and it's just injuries. So we'll see where he ends up signing. I definitely feel like wherever he signs, he's going to be a good factor for them. It sucked because him signing with the Giants was such a waste of time. Not because he was injured, but because the Giants didn't sign anybody else, so they weren't going to be good this year. And the only good thing we had were the few times where he had a few good outings, but the offense wasn't there to back him up. So there is rumors that he could potentially re-sign with the Giants, which I would love. But I would also not be shocked to see him go with, like, I've heard that it's potential he could sign with the Yankees, which I think would actually probably be one of his best options, or also the Dodgers as well. I've heard it's potential he could sign with them. I feel like if he goes to a team that's already on the brink of a World Series or that just won the World Series, in the case of the Dodgers, he's definitely going to be a guy who puts them over the edge. So don't be shocked if you see him go to a good team. But also, I wouldn't be shocked if he sticks around and stays with the Giants. But, you know, if I'm Blake Snell, I'm probably going to go with the Yankees or the Dodgers if those are my options. Then at number four in my top five MLB free agents, I have Pete Alonso. He's a first baseman, just spent beginning of his career with the New York Mets. And he is one of the top hitters in the league, and he is a difference maker. And he's definitely going to be a difference maker wherever he goes. He could end up staying with the Mets. It kind of feels like his time has passed, though, with the Mets. But there is talk he may end up with the Yankees. I kind of feel like that's that's going to depend upon what happens with another free agent that I'm going to talk about here. But Pete Alonso, he's definitely going to be courted by quite a few teams. And I definitely think he's going to be an X factor wherever he goes. He's going to provide you with a huge source of offense. I mean, he's been averaging, I believe, 44 home runs the last four seasons. So you're getting yourself a damn good player in Pete Alonso. He's also not a bad first baseman either. I wouldn't call him the greatest first baseman of all time, but when you're talking about defensively, he plays first base well, and you could always use a good first baseman plus great offense. Then at number three on my top five MLB free agents, Alex Bregman. You know, he's spent his entire career with the Houston Astros at shortstop. Don't be shocked if he ends up staying with Houston. But I feel like with him, his time is probably passed with Houston as well, and he's probably going to end up going somewhere. But I feel like whoever gets him is getting not only a damn good baseball player, but you're getting a dude with championship pedigree. And shortstop is always a very difficult position to find a good guy, and he's all reliable. When it comes to defense, this guy is top-notch at the shortstop position. It's just his offense tends to be very streaky. But if you ask me, if I hear that the Giants are going after Alex Bregman, I'm going to be fucking excited about that because we could use some help at the shortstop position. But also, I like his championship pedigree. I like that if you make the postseason, that this is a guy you could turn to and go, oh, he's gonna turn this team around. He's going to show them the right way. He's going to be the leader that you need. And so I feel like whoever gets Alex Bregman is getting a solid, good, top-notch championship player who's going to bring a nice veteran presence to, hell, even like a young squad. I feel like that's kind of just like on the brink. Maybe like the Detroit Tigers, a team like that, could potentially use him, or maybe even like a Toronto Blue Jays, a team that kind of needs like that good defensive player, but also needs a little bit of offense and also that leader that they've been missing. And those are just teams I'm throwing out there. I have no idea really who Bregman's going to go to. It just kind of looks like Bregman is not going to be re-signing with the Astros, but I'm going to be keep it quite real. I wouldn't be shocked if he re-signed with them because he's that good of a player, and he actually means a lot to that team. Then at number two on my top five MLB free agents, a name you better get used to until he signs with somebody, and that is Roki Sasaki. He is the next Japanese phenom. I mean, we've had Shohei Ohtani. We had Yamamoto last year. We had, oh God, the other guy, the other pitcher. Oh fuck, I can't remember his name, but he pitched with the Chicago Cubs this year. So there's a lot of guys who've been coming out of Japan over the years, and this one this year is Roki Sasaki. He is a starting pitcher. He's only 23, so you're getting basically a rookie. So you're getting his ERA right now this past year in the Japanese league has been a 2.02. So he's really solid, and everybody right now is going after him. So we'll see who he ends up with, but it's for everybody from the Yankees to the Dodgers to the Giants to just the Red Sox. Basically everybody is going after Sasaki this year. So get used to that name until he signs with somebody. And hell, I'd say even get used to that name anyways, because he could potentially be the rookie of the year next year, because that's kind of the expectations of this guy. I wouldn't say he's Ohtani status, but he's definitely a big name, and he's one of the top free agents this year. And everybody, including the big name teams, are going to be throwing a lot of money at this guy. But number one on my top five MLB free agents, of course, is Juan Soto. Just spent the last season with the Yankees, spent the season before that with the Padres, then, of course, started out with the Washington Nationals. As a matter of fact, was Rookie of the Year, won a World Series with the Nationals, was actually one of the big reasons why they won the World Series in his rookie year. So Juan Soto, you are getting a generational player here, and everybody is going after him. As a matter of fact, we're expecting his contract to be anywhere near the $500 million range. But he spent this last year with the Yankees. He could potentially win the MVP. MVP has not been announced yet, but he is in line to potentially win the MVP. But he had a fantastic year with the Yankees this year. He's been a great player everywhere he's gone. And whoever gets him is getting an excellent player, not only in the regular season, but like I said, his rookie year with the Washington Nationals is when they won a World Series. And if you don't remember that playoff run, he was such a huge factor as to why they won a few of the games. It's crazy. So just what Juan Soto is adding to every team. I mean, really, the Yankees would not have been half as good this year without Juan Soto. So I personally am, I believe the Yankees are the front runner for him, and I believe the Yankees are going to end up signing him in the end. But they got a lot of competition out there. Everybody's going after him. Everybody. It's pretty much every single team in the league is going after him. So we'll see. It's going to basically be up to who he wants to go to. Everybody's going to be offering him the money. That's not the issue. It's going to be, where does Juan Soto want to spend basically the rest of his career? To me, the Yankees probably are the best fit. I mean, look what they did this year. If they just get right, they could be right back in the same spot next year. But Juan Soto, obviously the number one free agent this year. And we'll see where he ends up. But wherever he goes, he is going to be a game changer. And, I mean, of course, I would love it if the San Francisco Giants would sign him. But I keep saying, to me, this is almost like how last year Aaron Judge was a free agent, but the whole time I knew he was going to the Yankees. Come on, he is a Yankee. I feel like it's the same thing with Soto. I feel like he liked the team he was on, but at the same time, I don't know. He might feel disrespected with how they handled the contract situation after they traded for him last year. But who knows? Who knows what the hell's going on? All I know is the red carpet's going to be rolled out to Soto, and basically he's going to have his pick out of whatever he wants to do. And good for him, because he has absolutely earned that right to choose where the fuck he wants to go. Because that's what happens when you put in the hard work like he has done since day one of coming up in the league. That's what he deserves, and that's what he's going to get. We'll see what happens with these five free agents, but also all the free agents, because those are just the top five that I mentioned. I left out a whole lot of other free agents. This is, I feel like, going to be one of the best free agencies that Major League Baseball has had in a long time. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.